So back to our text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Would anybody like to read verses 9 through 12 instead of hearing my voice again for the 19th time on those verses? 9 through 12, 1 Thessalonians 4. Thank you, Dave. So you know the context. We have a solid church here in Thessalonica, and there's great love between the believers, and it's overflowed into the region of Macedonia. But Paul also told us, and you could use 2 Thessalonians as well, to see that there's a problem, the problem of idleness. There's been a misunderstanding, and it's birthed out of the misunderstanding of the rapture and Jesus and the misunderstanding of death and hope. And so that's where it's coming from. This idleness is coming from. They're waiting around for the rapture. They're not going to do anything until they're taken up. And so big misunderstanding, so he's addressing that, and that's kind of where he writes these letters, or writes these words. And so we think that Paul was asked, what is it, how do you please God? What do you do? How are you sanctified? And if you look at verse 1 and verse 3 of chapter 4, he answers that. He answers that by being sanctified, and then look at verse 11, living quietly. So this is the context we're in. Don't be idle. Don't wait around for the rapture. Get to work. You don't have to be extraordinary in any certain way. Just simple, work with your hands, be sanctified, grow in grace, abstain from sexual immorality. So we've been through all that. 2 weeks ago, our last time in here about work was, why do we work and does work really matter? And that comes from right out of our text of verse 11. And so today, we're just going to spend time looking at the pitfalls of work and then the gift of work. The pitfalls of work, or you could say the dangers of work, if you want to use that word, the dangers of work, and how work is a gift, how it is to be stewarded. You're to steward it well and who it comes from. And so that's where we're headed in our time together. So we're going to start with the negative, the dangers of work or the pitfalls of work. And you might be thinking, well, the pitfall of work is work itself. That's the problem. Work is the problem. That's the danger. Is if that wasn't work, then we wouldn't have to worry about the dangers of what you're getting ready to tell us about the work. So we reminded ourselves, though, where work comes from. God is a God of work. He's the first worker. We saw it in Genesis 1:1, and before the fall, it was so clear that God instituted work. He mandated us to work before the fall. So if it was before the fall, you can't say it's bad. Now, it has been cursed. We know that. We've been through all that. We're not going to redo that. But so you can't think that the pitfall of work is work. That is not the case. Work is what it is, and we've been gifted with it before the fall and after the fall. It's still our mandate. And so number one, what are the dangers and pitfalls of work? Number one, making an idol out of work, or being idle in your work. That's the two ditches. Again, making an idol, I-D-O-L, out of work, or the other ditch, if you want to go to the other side of the road, being idle in your work, I-D-L-E. It just so happens to be idle and idle. So the bad thing about both of these pitfalls is that our culture and our society celebrates both of them. So if you want to find someone to agree with you, you will find someone to agree with you if you're in one of those ditches, because our society celebrates both of them. They will praise you if you make work the very center of your life. It's all you think about. It's all you do. You will find much company in that world. But also, on the contrary, you'll find many people that will agree with you that to be idle, to not work, to do everything but work, and you'll find favor there too. So if you want to be in one of those ditches, there's others in the ditch with you. Our country can even celebrate this to a certain extent, that our country gives a lot to people who cannot work. Our country gives a lot to those who can work but will not work. And there's a big difference there. There's those who cannot work and who need aid, and praise God, through His grace, gives our country the ability to help those who cannot work, and He gives them aid. But 2 Thessalonians 3:10, Paul says, "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing, Not cannot. We understand that. There's people that cannot work. But if you're not willing to work, this is strong. Then he is not to eat. I mean, I'm not saying it. Don't throw rocks at me. It's, Paul says it. And so there's a difference between being not willing to work, and of course, Paul understood the ability. So that's why he uses that word willing. He doesn't say can or wants to. It's, are you got to be willing to work, even if you can't work. Are you, would you still be willing to do if you could? And so you can find someone to join you in one of those ditches of idolizing your work or being idle from your work. And it seems contradictory because they're on the opposite sides of the road. That's why I'm calling them ditches. But there's many are in both categories. Why? Because they don't have a theology of work. And hopefully we've built that already with God and who he, what he, what he's done already, what he's mandated to us, why we work, and is work important? That was 2 weeks ago. So we hopefully we got that foundation to keep us out of the ditch. But the world, of course, wouldn't have that foundation. And we'll see what foundation they have in a few moments. So making an idol out of your work, what is that? Making an idol out of your work. We call idolizing your job, another way of saying it, you worship your career. You worship your career. You allow your work to be primary in your life. It's everything. It's who you are. It's your identity. When someone says your name, where's he? Oh, he's at work. You know, it's just always, that's what you are. It's who you are. You're really not known of anything else besides your work and your work ethic and your passion, and that's your love and that's your energy. Sebastian Traeger and Greg Gilbert wrote a book in 2013 entitled The Gospel at Work. And in the book, they give a few pointers of when to realize your work has crossed, when you're in the road and somehow you went in one of these two ditches. They gave some pointers to kind of realize that. Well, the ditch of idolizing, they said, here's some things to watch out for if you think you're idolizing your work, or if you don't know if you are. He says, number one, your work is the primary source of your satisfaction. So your work is the primary source of your satisfaction. Number two, your work is all about being the best so you can make a name for yourself. Number three, your work becomes primary about making a difference in the world. And work is a terrible God. If you're serving that God, the God of work, the lowercase g, it's a terrible God to serve. Your work becomes your identity. It's a status symbol to you. It's like a marker. It's almost like a house or a car. You can kind of show off. That's where it's becoming now. It used to be just in your things you bought, but now it's what do you do for a living? And whatever you say, that's your status symbol now. It didn't used to be. So what you can fill in that blank is what you can boast in, and especially if you idolize your work. It's what you impress people with. It's what you try to gain favor with. Well, I do this for a living. Let me see what I can do for you there. Of course, that's helping also, but it can also creep into, this is all I'll think about. What can I do for you so I can be more fulfilled in my work, because that's my God. So what you think about mainly is a means of self-fulfillment and what you can get out of it. And after it's all said and done, it crushes you. The God of that lowercase g, if you serve work as a God, it will crush you. And people idolize their work for all sorts of reasons. Selfish reasons. They lead the long hours, and the long hours then come home, and then the technology we have now follows us home. We work at home. We go to work in the morning. We work at work. We come, and it's just you never leave your work. It's with you always now. And so all that temptation is clearly there in today's times with technology. And so the work at work or the work at home, either way, is in vain if you idolize your work. With all that passion, with all that diligence, it's still trusting in yourself. You'll find so much self-fulfillment by being idolizing work, and you don't even realize it's crushing you all along. You can be a people pleaser instead of a God pleaser. And you know this is the case when you work to be noticed by people. Why am I doing this? Why am I working so hard? What all the diligence behind it? What's the motive? People. That's another telltale sign that you're idolizing work instead of working as a means of worship for God. And it gets a little deeper even than that. Take diligence, for example. That would be good, right? We've talked much about that already. But even something like just being diligent in your work can even be misused. What if you emphasize working hard at the expense of morality? You know, you just got, that's your God, and so you're going to work hard, and your morality goes down, heaping up accomplishment after accomplishment of hard work and diligence, but all the while, it's just masking depravity. That's all you're doing. You're working hard to mask your depravity. The Pharisees were very diligent in their study and dedication, and you can use hard work and diligence to store up treasures on earth just to benefit yourself and your family and no benefit for anybody else. And we're all legalists at heart. You might not think you are, but at one time, and it still creeps up every now and then, you're a legalist at heart. And self-justification, you'll always be trying to prove yourself because, of course, Satan's always telling you you're never good enough for a holy God. A preacher gets up here and says, holy, holy God, and who do you think you are that can serve him? But, of course, that's ill-informed. That you're on this other side of it. You've been paid for. You've been purchased. So self-justification, though, always comes up, and it comes up in our works. Works at vocation, good works for God. It's always a temptation that we have to fight, especially if you're wired as a doer. If you're wired to go on that side of the ditch already, then you're well on your way to finding yourself in that ditch. You can lose sight of what you're doing and the accomplishment of it all. And I'm a task list person. I have multiple places. I can't even keep all my lists that I write little tasks I need to do down and do this and do that. And I love marking them off. Find much joy in marking off my list. And I gotta be very, very careful in that world. I'm already leaning towards legalism. I'm already leaning towards that ditch. I'm already leaning towards finding fulfillment and joy in marking off my list. And that's not good. You have to be very careful if you are geared that way. And so you might be thinking, well, that's just how things are done. That's success. And you gotta be balanced. It's not, if you have this huge list and the providence of God brings all kinds of things your way, you have to be balanced in that. You can't just say, not now. I got to get my list done. It's all about me and my fulfillment and my list because what? I idolize my list. Because what? I idolize my work. And see how it just snowballs. It started out good. That's the only way I can get things done. I can't remember them. So I have to write them down and then you get fulfillment in it and then it just grows and grows and you find yourself trying to self-justify yourself. And so watch out for that. Be aware of that. Be balanced. God, in his providence, brings all kinds of things your way. And so if you find much joy in getting your list done, then don't find fulfillment in it. One pastor said, productivity is a wonderful servant, but a wretched master. It's a wonderful servant, but a wretched master. We cannot find our greatest joy in crossing off and completing tasks. It has to be found in making much of Christ. God wants us to be diligent, but do not take that diligence and make it a cause of your self-justification project. All right, so that's the ditch of idolizing or worshiping your work. So what about the other ditch? The ditch of being idle in your work. Being idle in your work. What does that mean to be idle? Well, it's a failure to see God's purpose in work. And we worked hard at that in the last many weeks of what work is and to really care for work. But if you're idle in your work, you're more than likely not going to give much attention to it. You're just doing it to get it done because it's an end. You have to do it. That's just what you got to do here on this earth. You got to work. You got to pay the bills. And that's all it is. It's the category it stays in. You try to keep as much attention away from it as you can. You hate it. You neglect it. And you do bad at it. And that's just the kind of the progression of it. Lessons we have looked at, like I said, of why we work and why is work important and what's the purpose of work, the genesis of work. And so Paul doesn't, we've seen that in our text, he doesn't put up with laziness. Laziness is not good. It's profoundly even unchristian. Laziness is profoundly unchristian. But since we're trapped in this mortal body, you're trapped in the mortal body, you will have to fight against laziness. No matter if you're wired a doer or you're on that side of idolizing your work, you're still going to be lazy. And being idle in your work is laziness. Christians fight against that. We don't accept it. We don't just roll around in it. We have to fight against it. That's what makes you a Christian, of course. When you fight against sin, it's evident that you are a believer. Unbelievers don't fight against sin. That's one of the main differences if you want to help yourself in your assurance category. Am I fighting against sin? Am I intentionally trying to battle this? Because that's where I'm geared. I'm geared to being lazy. And so you have to fight against it. We sometimes lose and we sometimes win. But leaning into laziness and enjoying it is something to be concerned about. So back to that, it's profoundly unchristian to be lazy. And I brought help with me so you don't throw rocks at me. But David Mathis with Desiring God says, Paul doesn't assume laziness must mean lostness. But he's dead serious that genuine Christians don't stay lazy. Work ethic is profoundly spiritual. And we built that foundation already of why not to be lazy. So how do you know if you're idle in your work? Well, I'd be assuming your boss hadn't told you already that you're idle. But how do you know? So number one, like I said, work is only a means to an end. That's all it is, and it stays in that category, and that's where it's left. Pastor Godfrey, if you remember him from Zambia, him and Dubé came in February. And when we created that relationship, God created that relationship 2017 or so, when that was formed, I started kind of doing some research on them and Googling, and it's amazing what all you can find. But back in the day, 2010 or so, Pastor Godfrey was quite the blogger. And he blogged about work, and he blogged about being lazy. And so I can use his words here, and you can be mad at him. But he said this about being lazy, that he was recently chatting with a friend, and his friend said, there are only three times a worker is happy in his work life. Knocking off, which is leaving early, going on leave, which would be a vacation, and receiving a paycheck. That's the only three times an idle worker is happy. As I thought through this, said Godfrey, it made a lot of sense for most workers. This type of worker, I think, considers work a burdensome task. Work is unavoidable that has to be done. The worker has no joy in duties assigned to him. This type of worker will not put an extra ounce to his work. He works to the letter, but no more. His chief characteristic is complaining. Most likely, his nominal worker is pessimistic about labor. He sees more negatives in doing his job, and everyone is bad except himself. And Godfrey goes on. No wonder productivity is low among workers like this. This worker gets to work with one eye on the calendar, the other on his watch. The eye on the calendar is tracking the days before payday, and the one on the watch, well, it's looking for lunch break or other breaks to end his shift, end quote. And so that about complaining, he mentions about complaining. Some days you might go to work thinking you're going to conquer the day, and one way you're going to do it is by not complaining and murmuring, because you know you do that, and because you know that you want to be idle in your work, but you're fighting against it, right? And you want to not complain and be murmuring about work, but it often still bites. You murmur, we complain. Well, why? Not because we're unfairly treated. That's not what happens most of the time. Or some weird circumstance happened. No, at the end of the day, what makes you do that is like what Godfrey is saying. You're just a nominal worker and you're lazy. That's where the murmuring and complaining comes from. It's just you got to say something because you just hate it that bad. And it just works itself out in so many ways. And Godfrey says, we're lazy. We're lazy. And it's not a word that any of us would like to be described with. I don't think any of us wants to be considered lazy. But number two, how do you know if you're idle at your work? Well, your work is completely unattached to your Christian faith. You work really hard at making work over here, Monday through Friday, say, and then Sunday is church, and you keep them completely separated and don't let them blend together at all, and you keep them in those categories, and you work hard at doing that. Because you can, that way you can be idle in your work because your Christianity is not able to inform your work. And large part of what we're doing here is trying to get those together. If you're like that in any way, all this talk about work and vocation is just get those together. Your Christianity informs everything. And you spend most of your time at work, so let it inform that. Don't separate them, because with them being separated, you will do very good at being idle in your work or idolizing your work. Because you keep God over there, your work is your other God, and you serve it most of the time, and you only have to serve this one every now and then. So don't keep them detached. Bring them together every chance you get. Bring them together. A couple of things to keep in mind with being idle at work or lazy is that God, for Christians, he's our motivation for work and to working hard. But if you don't know God, you're an unbeliever, you don't bring God into that side of your life and to inform your work, there's only one other thing that will make you a hard worker. If it's not God, there's only one other thing, and it's greed. Greed is the only other motivation. You either work hard for God or you work hard for money. It's the only two motivations. And the love of money becomes the one thing that gets you out of bed in the morning. That's the one thing that motivates you to work hard. So you're not idle. If you don't have God, you have to have another motivation. If you're not driven by the dignity of work and how you image God in that work, then something else will drive you, and that something else is money, which will also end, and it's unsustainable. It will not last. You will eventually burn out. If you're in the category of idolizing work, then using greed to do that will end very badly. Another telltale sign of being idle in your work is you're just a people pleaser. So kind of like the idolizing work, how they please their boss trying to grow up the ladder. Well, also on the being idle in your work, you're a people pleaser, kind of in a little different way. Still, the goal is not to make God happy. It's to make people happy. So you might spend all day doing stuff on your computer. When your boss walks by, you hear him, you turn on those Excel spreadsheets, and you're just going to town on them. And he walks by, and he's like, good, and he keeps going, or she keeps going. Soon as they're gone, what do? Bring Facebook back up, and you hammer on of what you were doing. You pleased them, right? That's not going to last very long. You'll be found out. But you're still a people pleaser. You're not pleasing God by it, no means. So switching the sheets so the boss can see is not going to get you. You'll be found out. Even though your boss might be fooled now, it won't be long. So you're doing your work just enough to get by. That's another telltale sign of you're lazy. And of course, I want to say this. I'm not up here on some high horse saying what's wrong with you all. You might not battle either one of these. I just know that's the two ditches you can be faced with. God is teaching me as well through all this. This is hard to teach because the pitfalls, the ditches are strong. That's a strong pull. And it's weird. You can be pulled into one and be in that, and then be pulled into the opposite one because you get burned out, and then you're over here and being lazy. And so I'm with you. This is not easy. This is not easy, but it's a fight, and that's all we're really going for here. You have to be aware of it so you can fight them. You're not going to be able to fight if you don't know who your enemy is. So be aware of it. I'm not up here looking down on you in any way. I'm with you. I've battled these just like you, so don't be lazy in your work and don't idolize your work. We've got just a little bit more to go. If you're discontented at work, it can be a sign that you're idle at your work. Are you always looking for a new job? Always. You can't stop thinking about something new. Never, ever settled. And I'm talking like constantly, not just, it's every 6 months you might be interested and look and throw a line out there. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking that's all you think about. That's all you complain about and murmur about is how bad your current job is and how you have to have a new one. Discontented at work. One foot in, but also one foot out, always scanning for new employment. Always distracted by the look. Looking, always looking. That's just another form of idleness. You're discontent, tired of the work, and want something new and exciting. And it's not only in the marketplace, though. This is in the church. I have friends in South Central Kentucky that attend local churches, and it can be pretty hard to find a pastor who's been there for a very long stretch of time. It's in everything. It's the marketplace. It's in the church, always trying to find the best next church, trying to build and grow and climb the corporate ladder, even in the church setting. So this is nothing committed to just the marketplace. You can find this lack of commitment. You can find this discontentment even in the church. So a lack of commitment seems to come directly from being discontent, which comes from being idle in your work. So in the marketplace, I hope we're seeing that if you produce a product, we learned this 2 weeks ago, if you produce a product for the community and it supplies a need, even if it's boring, there is so much joy to be found in that work because you're working for God, because you have that foundation of what work is about. And like I said, that was 2 weeks ago. Your fulfillment is found there. And when you are doing the Lord's work, and we have a lot of work to do, we have learned that the Lord's work is way more than just any work connected to the church. For 98% of you, it's connected to not the church. It's out in the world. That's where you work. And so God's work is done there. That's the only way you have food on your table. We walk through the means by which you can actually eat a bite of bread and all that went into that. So find much joy in just, if you have a task that's so boring to you and you're always discontent, inform that discontentment with, man, I'm doing God's work. I am doing God's work even though it seems like I'm not. But how is that person ever going to get this supply we make or we produce at this facility? They're never going to get it if I'm not a part of it. So find much joy in that. Work is such a gift from the Lord. And I think that's clear that we are to be content with our employment that God has given us. Many waste their days wishing it was different. And this, again, don't hear me just because you look for a job every 6 months or whatever. Don't hear me to not be ambitious and to try to better your family. I'm not saying that, but it is I'm just calling you to Christian contentment. Steve would say this from time to time, that life hardly ever throws you 90-degree, God hardly ever throws you 90-degree turns. Most of the time, it's just doing the next thing. And so a career change, a job change, is a 90-degree turn, and they do happen. But he was just in a simple way of saying, might want to reconsider where that motivation for switching your employment is always coming from. It might be coming from discontentment versus more of bettering yourself or bettering your family, because most of the time, it's just you actually are going in the opposite way when you're constantly looking, and you're just being idle in your work. All right, so that's the pitfalls, idolatry and idleness. But how do you fix it? And how do you make sure you don't fall in it? I referenced earlier The Gospel at Work, that book. It says, understanding that Jesus is the cure for that. Again, I could tell you all kinds of things you're supposed to do and the list that you're supposed to make, but if you're missing Jesus in it all, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're idolizing work or being idle in your work if you don't have Jesus, right? So he's the cure. So we looked at it last week. If you don't care, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 again, and we'll be done in just a few moments. Colossians 3, verse 22, Paul says, slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. And so, knowing that you are working not to please men, but to please God, and from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, it's Christ whom you serve. That's what Paul's saying. So, very clear language to tell you there's freedom in work. And the freedom is you can actually worship God with your work. That's how you keep them from being separate, is you bring them into one. You're worshiping God in your work because he's mandated you to do it, one. He's given you the job, and we'll look at that in just a second, the gift of the job. So you got that gift, and you're stewarding it well by working hard at it, not to please your boss, but to please God. And by pleasing God, it will please your boss. It happens like that because God's a much higher standard than your boss is. And so that's the picture here. And you won't be serving others for approval or acceptance, but you'll be serving God. And you can rest in your work because you know a good day was put in. You put a good day in at work, not because you please somebody, but because you are pleasing to the Lord. And that by that, you pleased your boss. And believe it or not, you can find joy in something like that when it starts rolling like that. And you're staying out of the ditches, and you're staying in the center lane, and you're working for God, and he gets all the glory for it. So whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. And you'll get some success out of that. So where's the credit going to go? It has to go back to God. Your work ethic, your diligence, your not being lazy, your fighting against it, your foundation of what work is, all building steps to success. You have an unfair advantage in the marketplace. So God's going to bless that. And then who are you going to give the credit to? You worked for either man, yourself, or God, and you're going to give the credit for one of those three. And where is it going to go? And I pray it goes to God, because He's the one that put all that in you, put it all in place. That's the only where credit can go. He's the only one we boast in. Anyway, so fight against idolizing, fight against being idle in your work, fight against being discontent in your work, because God put it all there. So Philippians 4:12 says, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. And in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. So with this foundation, and it goes into the poor category, praise God. If it goes into the more wealthy category, praise God. Either way, you praise God, no matter where He takes it. He's in control of all that. It's all His money. It's all how He can do with it how He wants. And so all praise goes to Him, not only for how you work and who you work for, where your work's at, but what the blessing that comes out of it. And so don't think that you do the right things, it's always going to end in wealth and prosperity. We don't preach that here. So who knows how God's going to bless it? But at the end of the day, you're submitted to Him to do the next thing. And so Christ is your energy when laziness comes. Christ is your answer when pride creeps in, and it will creep in. Christ is your answer when you want to find fulfillment in work or anything for that matter. Christ is always the answer. Christ is always the answer. So what have we seen? Don't idolize your work. Don't be idle in your work. And I'll end with this. I hope we can see that we need to thank God for work. Work is evidence of His kindness and His mercy toward us. As hard as that is to believe, and it is hard to believe that this is a kindness and mercy that work is, and we get to be participants in it. The Puritan John Flavel wrote a book in 1678 titled The Mystery of Providence, and he spent an entire chapter 4, on employment, on work, on vocation. And it's kind of interesting that he did that, but he did it because that's where you spend most of your time and how God's providence is in that area. Flavel writes on employment, and he does an excellent job of showing how God's providence in your work is all about kindness and all about mercy. So it's a complete 180 of what the world talks about and maybe even what your own mind is thinking. You might be thinking, well, if he knew who my boss was, if he knew what I have to deal with every day, he would not say work is a kindness and a mercy, because it's not. But let's let him talk here. If you're not content and want something better or easier, or wish you didn't have a job, here's what Flavel has to say. Now, to have an honest and lawful employment by which you do not dishonor God and befitting yourself is no small mercy. So you could have employment that's not beneficial to anybody. It's actually possibly even sin. So first thing you need to think of, the job I have, is it prostitution? Is it stealing? Is it name all the sin-related jobs? If it's none of them, praise God. And you're like, oh, that's crazy. That's where it starts. I mean, you need to be thankful that you're not participating in some type of sin at your work, assuming you're not. All right, he goes on. But if it is not only lawful in itself, but suited to your genius and strength, that's double mercy. So you're not doing sin at your work, but also your work just so happens to fit you pretty well. You're good with Excel spreadsheets. It just comes to you. You're good with pushing those buttons on that machine at the exact time and training others, and we can go on and on all the different tasks you could be doing. And if you're a teacher and you're good at it, I mean, that's a double mercy, he says. He's simply saying, see mercy everywhere. See mercy that you have a job that doesn't profane God's name like some do, and see mercy if your job just so happens to fit your strength and intelligence. And he goes on. He's talking about false views of work. He says, be well satisfied in the station and employment in which Providence has placed you, and do not even wish you were in another. Providence is wiser than you, and you may be confident it has suited all things better to your eternal good than you could do if you had been left to your own option. This is Christian contentment. That's what that is. You know, if it was left up to you, you would have chose the wrong thing. Praise God of where you're at right now, he's saying. This is, God's doing 10,000 things at your current job you have no clue that he's doing. Especially if you're lining your Christianity up with your vocation and it just multiplies from there. We must acknowledge the good in our circumstances, even if they are not the ones that we would have handpicked. Because understand that God is not only sovereign in salvation, which we love, but he is sovereign in our work and even where we work and who we work with and the hours and stress that comes with our work. He's even sovereign over all those things. Count it mercy. This is the calling we have, and may God help us succeed and excel right where we are. And I'll end this. This is the fourth time I think I've said it. This is the end. If any, he's from Flavel, he says, if any that fear God shall complain that the calling they have is hard and a laborious one, which takes up too much of their time, which they would gladly employ in other and better work, I answer that it is likely that the wisdom of providence foresaw this to be the proper employment for you. And if you had more ease and rest, you might have more temptations than you have now. And he goes on to say that the time and strength that your daily labors command of you could have been spent sinning and working for the devil. That's all I got. So praise God for you being attentive in this time. And Lord willing, we'll get started back in here next week. You're dismissed.